Hi, this is Ken Kojak, Remember Then Radio, and it's time for another great interview with another fantastic person. I'm so privileged to have on the phone Ron Henderson Jr. Welcome to the Ken Kojak 60s Jukebox Review.
Hey, Ken. Thanks for having me today, buddy. I'm looking forward to it.
Well, I got the connection through Janet, and Janet's, I call her Queenie. She's the one that connects me to a lot of artists. And I thank her for that, and I thank her for hooking us up together.
Yeah, I thank her too. That was amazing when she reached out to me. I was kind of like shocked because we've been friends a while, but she must have never really paid attention to my music, and all of a sudden she heard something and was like, "Boom, here we go."
Yeah. So what I like to do is I'll do this interview with you, and then we'll play a song within the interview. And then I have a bunch of songs here that I'd like to play for the listeners to hear. So what got you interested in singing and music? And when you were growing up, who influenced you? You know, what got you interested in music in the beginning?
Well, I'd have to leave it all to my dad, Ron Henderson Sr. My dad has always been a doo-wopper. I was raised in the doo-wop era. Mm-hmm. Listening to his groups, you know, sitting on the basement steps while he rehearsing. My dad was... He was the original member of the original True Tones, Ron Henderson and the True Tones, which changed the name to the Choice of Color later on. And he had a song out, Blushing Bride, That's Love, back in the day, and a couple other things. He never hit it big, but he was, you know, he was kind of popular in D.C. back with the Skip Mahoney and the Casual Days and all that stuff.
Oh,
so listen, yeah, my dad taught me a few chords on the guitar. And I took it from there, you know, listening to him. I learned all about background vocals and stuff like that. And, you know, learned how to play guitar until 14. I started my own group in D.C.
Oh.
We weren't doing doo-wop at the time, but we were, you know, trying to find our own identity.
So
when I was a Jimi Hendrix fan on guitar. And,
oh, wow.
And the Doobie Brothers and stuff like that. I love that stuff. So I'm not a great guitarist, but I play very well. I can play with anybody.
Oh, that's great, great. So when you were growing up as a kid, who were your favorites that you listened to?
Oh, man, my dad's group, Cookie Hudson and the Spaniels.
Wow.
Earth, Wind & Fire, Marvin Gaye. We can go on and on and on.
Oh, your name?
Definitely the Delphonics. Oh, my goodness, yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah, name me some heavy hitters, that's for sure. Right? La La means I love you.
Oh, yeah. And Cookie Hudson was like an uncle to me. You know, and my dad, the Choice of Colors and the True Tones used to double for the Spaniels when the Spaniels had trouble at the time. My dad would become the Spaniel, so Cookie was like an uncle to me.
Oh, wow. That's really special. He influenced a lot of people in this business, and I know that Kenny Vance... from the Planetones is a lover of Pookie Hudson's music.
Oh yeah,
you know
the original Good Night Sweetheart writer himself.
That's right, right? Yeah, I play that often as my closing song on Remember Then Radio. So, all right. So when did as far as you're concerned, okay? When did you start singing, being on stage?
In D.C., and my own group, we were doing talent shows and stuff like that.
Uh-huh.
And I backed up Chuck Brown and the Soul Searchers. I came up with the Soul Searchers with Chuck Brown and Rare Essence. And D.C., these are these groups. Do It in the Butt guy, who was that? Do It in the Butt, then Sexy. So my group was back in following these type of guys. They were a little bit older than me.
Mm.
And I remember, you know, Parliament Funkadelic used to rehearse up the street from where I live, so I got to sit in and listen to Michael Hampton, one of the famous guitar players with Funkadelic at the time.
Oh, wow.
So I heard a lot. I was around a lot, but, you know, eventually I moved in. I got too much for my mom. You know, because my dad and my mom separated. My dad moved down to North Carolina.
Oh.
So she told me I had to go.
You had to go.
So I came down here to Charlotte with my dad, and the rest is history. Because my dad was in the studio all the time. And I really learned how to play and how to produce music from the studio. You know, I was in the studio all the time with them, and
oh, really? Oh.
Yeah. He was the one that taught me how to read music, and I learned how to read it. I didn't learn how to read it that well, but I learned how to write it. I can write music notation very well, but I can't read it and it related to my instrument that good. But I can read a guitar chart, and I learned, man. I went on the road with Duke Hall. We had a group called Living Color.
Oh.
A three-girl act at the time. Two white girls, one black girl, and we did 32 states in 13 weeks. And this was during the disco era.
Oh, in the 70s.
We were playing all the disco music, but then when disco died out, you know, the beach music circuit down here in Charlotte, we call it beach music,
right.
They weren't really accepting us because we weren't playing the beach music, which is the oldies but goodies, you know.
Yeah.
So we had to drop that group eventually. And I went on and I got with chairman of the board. I got with Maurice Williams and the Zodiacs in 85.
Oh.
And Maurice heard me sing with Mike. We were down at the Atlanta Theater. Greenville Theater in Greenville, South Carolina. We were doing a concert.
Oh.
Chairman of the board, Maurice Williams, the Tams, and my group Living Color.
Oh.
And Maurice always has to have somebody sing that high part that's in space. Oh, but, you know, at that time, I could sing soprano. I was higher than the girls in the harmony and the girls group I had. And Maurice said, talked to the bass player with his group, said, who's that big head guy with the big eyes singing that high part?
Wow, so you worked with Jenny.
When I heard about that, Maurice got in touch with me and told me to give him a call. Well, I was intimidated. I'm not going to lie to you. Because I was I was playing with my own group. Maurice was a star, as far as I was concerned. I was scared to audition for him, and eventually I did. And my group broke up, and I got the job with him, and I was doing the high parts and staying all those other songs.
Oh.
You always had to have somebody with, you burn out on that, or singing that high part. Especially if you drink and stuff, eventually. You know, those old singers, they can keep their voice, but those new ones trying to copy them, no. We get out here and party and drink and tear our voices up. So we had to have somebody else take my place in that, but Maurice loved where I play guitar, and still to today.
Oh.
Maurice and I are best friends. We're really good friends. I check on them all the time.
Wow. So you were friendly with General Johnson, huh?
Well, I was friend with General. I knew him very well because my group used to follow him around.
Oh, I love that song. Give me just a little more time. Love that song.
Oh, yeah. Well, when General got sick in 2010, Ken Knox had called me to, fill in with the chairman of the board because they were going to have to regroup. So I joined the chairman playing guitar and singing background, and I led lead vocal for the band, which is the executive. So Danny and Ken Knox broke up, and Danny started a group called the Board of Directors.
Mm.
And Ken had the name Chairman of the Board, but they were fighting over the rights to the name. And instead, he changed the name to KCO, which is Ken Knox and Company. And eventually, he won the rights back to use the name, which he should have, which was good. And I played with Danny one gig, and it was a choice of joining Danny or playing with Ken. And I stayed with Ken because, he had more gigs on the book. It was a great experience to be out there with the chairman of the board, fronting for the band until we got a lead vocalist for the band. And I had come out of retirement, too. I hadn't sung in a while, so it took me a while to get my pipes back. But, the best thing that I have to offer anybody is I have great stage presence. I know how to work a crowd. To me, the most important thing in entertainment is the crowd.
Mm-hmm.
The crowd did not come to entertain me. I have to entertain that crowd. They want me to tell them what to do, and I'm good at that.
Oh, that's a good trait to have.
Yeah, and fortunately, in the end, Ken Knox fired me. I'm just going to keep it 100. I kept missing gigs and stuff like that. For whatever reason, that's a whole other subject. So I left there in about 2011, 2012, but I was feeling every now and then. But they're doing good right now. Then I joined another group called Summer Days, which is a beach music group out of South Carolina. That was the last band I was with.
Mm-hmm.
But I went into the church, church, and Maurice and I members of it. And I've been playing in church ever since, but I never stopped producing music. And all through that time, I had one great partner. And I was the king of four-track recording.
Mm-hmm.
But I had a partner. Back then, he was with the Entertainers. His name is Barry Duke. And he sings with the Catalinas now. He's one of the lead vocal Catalinas, but me and him were partners at the time. We're still partners today, recording, especially on 4-track. But then Barry went into the digital for interviewing because I'm putting music out all the time.
Wow, wow, that's great. You got a great history and a love for music and really involved with studio work. And that's really, really cool. That's really great. Now, I have a bunch of songs that I'll be playing after, but I listen to all your music. It's all great, but I want to focus on one song and play it and let the audience know. I'm talking about the song "Dance with My Father." Great rendition you did here.
Oh, now, God, thank you.
Oh yeah, excellent. So,
you know, it's funny. I don't mean to cut you off, but I'm glad you're playing that because my dad died. You know, my dad just died a year ago.
Oh, I'm sorry.
If that long, we lost him, and I thought that would be the perfect song to redo. And I happened to, you know, I said, wow, this thing fits me. It worked out really good. But when we played it, I had to play it at his funeral, sing it at his funeral.
Oh, man.
I couldn't do it. I had one of my nieces help back me up with it. You know, the spirit got me. But then I said, let me finish recording this thing. And it came out great.
It did. It really did. It really did. And I want to hear the listeners now have a chance to hear you on this great, great, great rendition of this cover song, "Dance with My Father." We'll be right back with the Ken Kojak 60s Jukebox Review. More with Ron Henderson Jr.
All right.
Wow, great rendition, "Dance with My Father." And you did great. And like you say, it had to be hard to do. You said you recorded it right after your dad passed. Okay, so let's hear some more history of Ron Henderson and other groups and artists that he sang with. So tell us about that.
Okay, well, we had like Dottie Peoples. That was one of my greatest accomplishments in my life because, you know, just to say that you sang sang on stage with somebody that won the Grammy later on, just, you know, makes you smile.
Oh, yeah, that's special.
But also, I've gigged with a group called Soul Escape Band when they gigged in South Carolina somewhere.
Uh-huh.
And a good friend of mine, Cecilia Jeffries, and her husband, he died recently, but they would call me. Anytime somebody needed somebody to jump in and fit in without hardly rehearsing, that's what people called me. But since then, I've done nothing but church stuff except for my duet partner, Sonya Lee.
Mm-hmm.
Her name is Sonya Lee Witherspoon. She goes by Sonya Lee. She's the daughter of folk singer Purvis Lee. And we do a duet together. You know, we call the group In the Key of G.
Oh.
And that was, you know, I loved that group, but we didn't, I got sick. You know, what happened to me?
Mm.
2013, I fell in the street and was totally paralyzed for 25 minutes. And I had to have spinal decompression surgery and all that stuff. And I'm still, from that day forward, you know, I'm still numb from my shoulders to my fingertips.
Oh, wow.
So I'm only about 60% of guitar players I used to be.
Oh, wow.
And, you know, I still play. But, if, you know, when you can't do it like you used to, I got to admit, you get frustrated, you get discouraged. So I still play in church because I can do that. But on stage, I'm kind of apprehensive. But I think I want to go back. And longer than let me sit out on stage and play, I think I'm going to go back out there. Now, I did play about a month ago with the Tams.
Oh.
Here at Concord. I played Little Red, Leave Up with Tam. Me and him are really good friends. So I went up to that gig, and he let me play the whole gig with him, and I enjoyed that.
Oh, okay. So you were telling me about Archie Bell and the Drells and some other acts that you were singing with also.
Oh, certainly. Archie, we did a thing called the Legends Tour, and it was Maurice Williams, Clifford Curry, and Archie Bell. Those were the three legends. The band that backed up all the groups was Maurice's band, so we did that for about 6 months. Archie's a pro, man. He knows how to work that stage, man.
When was this?
How to work that stage. I really enjoyed that. Clifford Curry is just a heck of a songwriter. He's passed on. Archie's still with us. Maurice is still with us.
Wow.
But that was great. I've had some great experiences.
When were you working with Archie Bell and the Drells?
Ooh, that was probably about 1987.
Wow. Wow, 87. Cool.
Yeah. It might have been after that, I don't know, but I I left Maurice in 88. Uh-huh. Then I came back to him in about 92. So it might have been then, but I think it was about 87.
Wow, what experiences. That's unbelievable. You know, those are my high school memories, you know?
Oh, yeah. I wasn't in the high school with him, but I remember him because, you know, even you might have been in there going to school with him, but that's the music that was hot then. I mean, that was the good music, and it's funny. Oh. It's just my opinion.
Right.
Today is, you know, the old music for us older folks is probably the last and safe venue for people to go out, I mean, a lot of people, and just have a good time without worrying about troubles and stuff. We don't want no thugs coming out there. We don't want no gang. We don't want no mob trouble.
Man.
We just want to come out there and enjoy our old days listening to some nostalgic music, man.
Yeah, you know, I always said this, that when you hear a song, it'll bring you right back to the time when you heard that song for the first time. You know, bringing back those memories, you know?
Oh, yeah, I definitely know.
Right, right. So if people wanted to find out more about you, you know, as far as a website or, you know, tell us about that, you know, how they would contact you or see more about your career and whatnot.
All right, if you want to know anything about me, reach out to me. You can always find me on Facebook, Ron Henderson Jr., and I'm on there every day, two or three times a day. I will contact you, inbox me. If you're trying to hear any of my music that's out there, you can go to YouTube and dial in Ron Henderson Jr. or these letters, ARZJE. And that is my YouTube page. You can hear all my stuff there.
Okay, say that again. Repeat that again, what you just said, so they can write it down.
ARZJB,
you said?
J-E as in Edward.
Oh, J-E. Oh, okay. I got it.
That's an acronym, actually, for Ron Jr., R-J. R-J, I just put a little French twist on R-J, Ron Jr.
Oh, okay. Okay, great. Oh, that's terrific, you know? You know, a lot of history. You know, and a lot of people, believe it or not, it's hard to believe. Like when I did a show on Motown, and how many people did not even know who the Funk Brothers were?
Wow.
It's amazing. It's absolutely amazing to hear that, you know, people, even in the music, you know, that knew about a lot of music, you know?
Oh, yeah. We know Motown, not the Funk Brothers.
Right. Right, and it's really unbelievable. I felt bad for a lot of them that when Berry Gordy moved Motown from where they were originally, Detroit to California, a lot of them, you know, weren't able to go and join them. You know.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, I mean that's, you know, you're talking about great music, and so I you know, I really appreciate your time. I'll be playing, you know, all your music right now after the interview, and all I can say is, you know, God bless you, and I thank so much, Janet, for introducing us.
Well, it's been my pleasure, and if